I'm back. A dinosaur story. Are you happy to have me?
It's like the third time you made that joke in 2 days.
You made it the one time.
No, that's true, but you pointed it out.
I like, that's a funny, I never saw that movie. I don't know if anyone did. I mean, most people, I imagine, don't even know what we're talking about. Who made that movie?
I'm sure it was Don Bluth.
But he already made Land Before Time, didn't he? How many dinosaur movies can he make? Did he make Land Before Time?
Did he?
Or is that the other one?
Who did Fievel?
I think Don Bluth.
Okay, maybe it was Don Bluth. I don't know, it's like, if it wasn't made by Disney, I assume it was Don Bluth.
Which
he's
is
like
true for
the,
a while.
He's like the lesser
He Disney. Did Titan A, and I think he's been done since then. He had a good run, mm-hmm. that Don Bluth guy. His moves are always a little upsetting.
His people looked weird. Well, I don't know what it was.
He had very cheeky facial expressions. Everyone always looked slightly, like, disgusted. It kind of weirded me out,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, always just looked off.
Yeah. 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 But, you know, they're good. They're good.
They're good. That's how you get out of that? By doing
What's
the
that from?
Anything?
That's just Bruce Almighty. That is a thing.
It's good.
There's got to be a transition somewhere in here. I'm just digging around until I find it. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for June 25th, 2015. This is Mike Minotti. I have no idea what day it is anymore when I'm gone for a while. I was like looking at my watch like, oh shoot, I have to say what day it is. Yeah. Mike Minotti, joined by my brother Ajka. How's
Hello.
It going? Hey, I'm back from E3. I almost did it again. I almost did the dinosaur story. Anytime I say I'm back or we're back, I just have to say a dinosaur story. Right, but yeah, well, we're back. There's a couple things have been happening. More drama than news this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that. And we've been playing Batman. So, hey, we got plenty to do. So, let's get to it.
All right. Which shitstorm do you want to start with first?
Batman's more relevant, I guess.
Okay, so, Batman, which we'll talk about because we've been playing it. But the PC version, apparently, is a terrible bloody mess. And, so bad that they have pulled the PC version from Steam. I don't know if they pulled it off physical shelves. Is that a thing?
I don't know. Yeah, do they sell PC games physically anymore?
Apparently.
So.
But yes, apparently it's pretty rough. Now, a lot of people are saying that this is why the Steam refunds were implemented, because people have been, you know, utilizing that.
I guess so. It is. I just like, because you always hear from, you know, the PC master race, you know, get these PC. This is an instance where, man, having that having that PlayStation 4 version is way better. That game looks great on there.
Yeah, looks great on Xbox One.
So, I mean, that's always the trade-off that I feel like these people kind of gloss over. There definitely is. I mean, games can obviously still be broken on these consoles. Look at, you know, Drive Club. I don't know. There's a bit more of a sense of comfort and stability a lot of times when I'm on my console. Maybe it's a false sense. But there just is.
Well, you know that, you know, that's always the conceit of console gaming, is you know it's going to work on your console. Like, right. Every console is the same. And it doesn't help, too, like, it came out when people looked at the credits of, what, 12 people from Iron Galaxies did the PC port?
Right. Well, maybe, I mean, you know,
maybe try a little harder next time.
Just, you know, some games are PC games and some games are console games to me. And just for Batman, if you had a PlayStation 4 and PC, I don't know, maybe you should just think that's a PlayStation 4 game. Like, The Witcher... That's probably pretty safe to get on PC with that heritage.
But you just kind of look at the developer heritage, really. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Rocksteady was like... And I know, like... Well, I think a lot of people kind of got Arkham Asylum. Or was Arkham Asylum even out on PC ever?
Yeah.
But City. And they had those ports, but when they were on sale. And like, because those games also kind of had buggy PC launches. But a lot of people got them when they were cheap. And everything was working great.
Mm.
And again, those were games where the PC difference back then was maybe a lot higher because, you know, on Xbox 360, that game wasn't running at 60 frames per second. You didn't have, like, the cape and weather effects and wind effects that you were getting on your PC. Whereas now it's like, you know, the game's probably going to...
There's a little more parity, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, again, I don't think it's running 60 frames on PlayStation 4, is it?
It's 30. And, right. Like, well, that was one of the things, like, the PC version was locked at 30, but you could go into an INI file... Modify it to try to unlock it to 60, but
that sounds safe. Yeah.
Even high end computers are still struggling to run the game. It was weird. It's weird it didn't get caught.
So you think it's the right thing to pull it from the shelves?
I think so. I don't think this happens without you know, refunds on Steam and, yeah, and social media outbursts.
I think if people were complaining, yeah, I don't think they would have cared.
Right.
Like 5 years ago, I think they'd still happily be selling you Arkham Knight.
Which, do you see that as a good thing, or?
I guess. I mean, what this says to me is that there's not going to be an easy fix for this.
No, but I think at least now we're putting pressure on PC developers. Right. Like, your shit better work, because now we can return it.
It is interesting, like, you know, how did they not kind of, did they know that this was going to maybe happen, or could they have just delayed the PC version? I wonder if we are going to get back to that, because, you know, people complained for a while. The PC versions of games would come a lot later.
Yeah.
And people complained, and now, you know, we kind of have it day and date, but the PC version's not working so well. Pull that. So, weird. So what about Bungie? What'd they do?
All kinds of stuff. So, they showed the Taken King, which is their new DLC at E3. It's $40, like two new areas to explore, new raid, new strikes, new crucible maps.
So it's definitely more content than the other expansion.
Yeah, because it also has the new subclasses, which is pretty, I mean, you think about it, a pretty significant chunk. It's like,
I guess, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's all well and good. So that was $40. For $60, you'll be able to get a version of Destiny that has everything, all the DLC, including the last two, which, to reiterate, were $20 a piece.
So it's a deal.
So then they have a physical collector's edition that is everything, along with like steel cases and artwork and like a bunch of like neat physical things. And you got like exclusive in-game emotes, shaders, and they're introducing, you know, like the class items that you wear for cosmetic purposes.
Yeah.
They're going to start putting stats on those with the expansion.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then, so this collector's edition came with ones that have XP boost. So if you were... If you wanted to, like, level a new character or the new subclass.
Yeah, like in Warcraft or something like that.
And then there's a digital collector's edition, which is the same as the physical collector's edition, just without the physical components, which was also... Did I say 60? I meant 80. So this is also... They're both $80.
Right.
So physical and digital, both $80, well, even though the physical one gets you more stuff.
The problem is that there was no way to get a collector's edition that was just the new expansion.
Yeah, so...
Which was dumb.
If I wanted...
I don't know why they would do
that.
If
I, for whatever reason, really wanted the emotes and all that stuff, I had to basically buy the game again.
Right.
Which is dumb.
It's weird because, I mean, again, I hate that I'm always comparing Destiny to World of Warcraft, but when World of Warcraft makes a new expansion, there's, you know, the regular version, then there's a, you know, a collector's edition that has a lot of neat stuff. In-game items and physical things, and it's always just kind of the expansion. It doesn't cost like $200 because it comes with all six previous World of Warcraft expansions. I don't get that.
But it's not like a matter of it costing $200. Like $80, or like I think for the physical collector's edition is actually fine, but for that digital version, I think is ridiculous because. Again, EA, like you said,
I don't know, twice as much as the regular game for the physical, like, collector's edition
for all the stuff that comes
maybe,
in. It, if you're into
maybe,
it,
maybe, I guess.
But I just like how did no one at Bungie think to say, like, what about people who already own all this stuff? Aren't they going to be upset?
Right.
We saw the same thing happen with Guild Wars 2.
Yeah,
and their announcement that the expansion comes with the last version of the game. What? I bought that years ago.
Right.
Like, so. It wasn't a help when Luke Smith gave an interview to Eurogamer.
And basically he was being Luke Smith, which if you know Luke Smith, like, maybe, you know, that's kind of his thing, it's fine. But it's without him speaking, it's interpreted poorly. It
was, yeah, and they did their Bungie Weekly update today.
Well, they did the inevitable apology.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Luke even admits, like, you know, I would have reacted the same way if I read that interview not knowing who this guy is. So, like, right. I'm sorry, you're right, I came off like an asshole. Look, I got an email. Oh, anyway, so their mea culpa is, if you want, you can now just buy the expansion for the $40, and then they'll have a $20 upgrade bundle, which gets you all the collector's edition stuff without having to rebuy the game.
I mean, that's good. That should have been there in the beginning.
Right.
Again, it takes, like, the internet outrage. Here's my problem. Is like, I almost hate the internet outrage culture. It seems slightly entitled and whiny to me, but the problem is it works. It's the only way to get these people to do things sometimes.
Yeah.
It's you gotta fucking hashtag whine, and there you go.
Do you think this stuff's worth $20? I mean, you as a kind of
I don't know. Player. If you told me I could pay $20 for like a new dance animation for my character in World of Warcraft, if that'd be equivalent and like a new cosmetic armor thing, I would say no.
Here's the only thing I find odd about it. So with this, to me, like the kind of economics of it is saying that the base game and the two previous pieces of DLC are, functionally speaking, worth $20. Which is what one of those pieces of DLC costs when they were new. And when this all comes out, the latest DLC, House of Wolves, is 4 months old. I feel like they're very quickly devaluing their own content.
I still don't like the term expansions for those last two things.
Well, yeah, and that was the
complaint. And now it's too. Like the thing, it's like, okay, those were expansions worth $20. This is an expansion worth $40. It's like a super expansion. It's a super expansion. I don't know. It's just, they're just all updates. And it only sounds like it almost would have been nice, maybe ideally, if this all, like, these last three expansions could have been, like, one big expansion, but there just wasn't enough content in the base game. There had to be, updates of some kind.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I'm not playing Destiny, I can tell you that.
Well, to make matters worse, the day after all this happened, they decided it was a good time to announce their new partnership with Red Bull.
That's what people love. Yeah. That beverage synergy.
Oh, God, it's the best. So, basically, after Taken King comes out, with a code from Red Bull, you unlock an exclusive quest.
A quest.
And I'm just saying, everyone's upset about this. Have you played the quest in Destiny?
Yeah, who cares?
Right?
Yeah, exclusive quest. I honestly hope that you have to collect Red Bull or some shit. And you have to, like, get wings. It's like, fly over a chasm. It may as well.
Right. But, I mean, it's obviously, it's going to use recycled content. You're just going to walk through an area you've already been, but backwards, and kill a guy at the end of it. Like,
dude,
what do people think this quest is going to be?
Sounds like some exciting new Destiny content. I wonder what the people who worked on this content, did they know they were going to make the Red Bull exclusive quest before, or, like, yeah, after they started?
Like,
I want to know.
Hey,
I want to know how that hit morale.
Hey, Josh, great work on the quest you're building so far. Just want to let you know, we're actually going to take your quest, and we're gonna kind of keep out of the base game. Oh, is it gonna be like DLC? Sort of.
You could say that.
Except instead of like buying
it's not downloadable content; it's drinkable content.
Instead of buying it in like the in-game store, you're gonna buy it at 7-Eleven, and it's gonna come with Red Bull.
Yeah.
Wait. Is it coming with Red Bull, or is my quest coming with
Red Bull? Yeah, right. What are we buying here? Are we buying Red... It's just like, I enjoyed this Red Bull, and hey, look, I got a Destiny quest. I may as well plug that sucker in.
Then I was confused. So, in addition to the quest, you also get, like, XP boost. This was confusing me, because, like, if I read this right, the XP boosts only work until the end of July. But they're like, they made a point to say, like, these Red Bulls will be exclusively at 7-Elevens until August, when they'll be everywhere else.
Oh.
So you gotta find a 7-Eleven if you want the XP boost.
I guess.
Then, to make matters worse, the, like, internal, like presentation of how this was gonna work leaked out online. Let me read you this choice excerpt.
Oh, I can't wait for this marketing spiel.
Access to an exclusive multi-stage quest within the game that is unlike anything that exists elsewhere, including stages that mirror Red Bull's brand traits of adventure, fun, and camaraderie.
Wait.
Destiny consumers are used to paying a premium for downloadable content similar to this quest.
Oh.
Are they?
Oh, shit.
Are they?
They are used to it. They're used to paying for things.
Yeah, but for a quest?
Not really. Oh. I always love that shit when, like, the Red Bull people really hit that. Like, guys, our brand is, like, it's known for, like, epic adventures and camaraderie. I think that, like, our combination with Destiny just makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You know, Red Bull's really all about defeating the darkness and fighting with the Titans.
Red Bull's just about, all they do is, like, host their, like, weird off-brand, like, things so they can take videos of it. Like, this guy's gonna jump out of a balloon.
Now we're gonna launch some flume togs or whatever they're called in this underwater.
These assholes made gliders
that don't glide.
And it's like, yeah, they're gonna fall into a lake. And it's like, they take their fingers of it, like, look, it's all because of Red Bull. God damn it.
So the whole, like, that the timing of that with everything else is bad enough. I think just taking it on its own, it's pretty bad. This is what everyone was afraid of when, and Bungie's going to take their talents to Activision. Yeah. It's like, fuck me.
Yeah, here comes the
Red. Yeah, Bull. Believe me, this doesn't happen without Activision.
I mean, to be fair, there's fucking Gamer 3, or there's Halo 3 Gamer Fuel back
what
in the
day. What did that get you? Were there codes?
There was online XP boost or something.
Was that what it was? Okay, I knew that was a thing.
It's a thing. Whatever. I'm not, like, mad about it. It doesn't upset me. I get it. It says I'm going to laugh at it, but I'm going to make fun of them.
Well, everyone's worried now that this, all this together just opens the doors for, like, a ton of shitty microtransactions to make their way into Destiny for, like, emotes and shaders and bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure, that's coming. I'm not sure. Whatever. You know, what you get for playing Destiny.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't work as a game developer this week. I feel like it's just a lot of game developers apologizing this week.
Kind
of,
like, sad. 6.2 came out. Warcraft. I just like haven't started it, and it's like I don't think the band's getting back together for it. It doesn't seem like it at this point.
That's too bad.
So I don't know. A part of me is like wants to do it to like because I've done everything else as expansion, which I never really done before. Part of me just wants to maybe do it, find a guild to run through the normal version at least. I don't know. In a way, it's like you always know you're not going to raid forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of like a sad thing. Like it's got to stop. But like you know, it's also healthy too because that's you know,
big time sink.
It's 10 hours a week. And, you have lives and stuff. And nieces now and all that thing.
Yeah.
Nieces. I love my nieces.
Thank you.
But not you. No. Just them. We had a fun adventure yesterday taking to the Giant Eagle so I can get pills. I had to get my pills and then I also bought some bourbon while I was there. So I was feeling like I was kind of bad. I'm pulling this stroller with your twins in it into like the liquor section. I need bourbon. Now I gotta get my pills. That was all I bought. In the grocery store.
I'm sorry, can I just real quick? I just reread this other thing in like the leaked marketing material.
Oh, good. Let's go back to that.
An XP boost that allows players to gain XP points for a set period of time. XP boosts allow players to improve their character attributes. A reward that will drive repeat purchases of the Destiny can.
I mean, they're not wrong, I guess. I don't know.
And I like that. Someone retweeted, and I forget who said this, but. He said, if anyone buys this $20 Destiny DLC upgrade, you are never allowed to complain about an indie game being too short ever again.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is worth $20.
Yeah. This isn't worth $10. Like, how much was Ori and the Blind Forest? $15?
Yeah.
Not quite worth a couple
of Destiny shaders and most.
Not quite that value was Ori. The game of the year. But, okay. Hey, is there anything else you want to know about E3?
Yeah, so, what would you say is the best... I know you were super hype on HoloLens. I think we got
HoloLens was it was definitely the coolest thing I saw.
Right.
But it wasn't really a game.
Yeah, so what would you say... Give me, like, your three most favorite games you saw
at E3. I just had to do this for GameSpeak, so this is kind of easy.
Oh, good.
Well, playable...
Yes, playable.
Playable. Because, like, Uncharted 4 looked great, and that Horizon was great, but not playable.
Okay.
But playable. Probably one, Battlefront. I was just hyped on that.
So
it was so much fun. And I just, it was like me, like trying, like playing it and like not even really understanding how everything worked and playing with like a bunch of strangers. That was still super fun. So like once I kind of like really understand the game and I'm like playing with like you guys and stuff, that's going to be great. Mm-hmm. That's going to be super fun. Then kind of keeping in EA, oddly, Mirror's Edge Catalyst. And I mean, I love Mirror's Edge 1. And this is it's basically Mirror's Edge except without like shitty flash animation cutscenes. So like the better production.
Well, I like that it's open world. I like that there's no guns. And did you get to play with this? I was reading about this feature where when you need to navigate in the open world, you like set your waypoint, but it's just like the in the original Mirror's Edge, the stuff you could like kind of swing on all glowed red. So now like your path kind of lights up.
It's cool.
I think that's cool.
It's super. It's way more organic than you know. Like in every game, there's like a trail of arrows to follow
and like a waypoint arrow in the distance.
But no, this is like way more organic than that. It's super cool.
That's rad.
This is going to be like, I'm all about open world games with like interesting forms of traversal, and this is like the most fun. Like the whole point of Mirror's Edge is that it's fun to traverse. So I'm super stoked for that. And then I finally got to play Mighty No. 9, and that game, that's tickling all my spots. It's just like just kind of because it's very Mega Man, but it doesn't just feel like the next Mega Man or Mega Man X. It kind of has its own things going on. With kind of like the way you have to like you basically have to hurt people enough so that you can dash through them to absorb them, and like the dash is actually you can keep dashing in the air like that. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting on, like, already I'm thinking about, like, speed runs or just, like, kind of skipping segments.
For some reason, that kind of reminds me of Ori in a weird way.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But, I mean, it just, it looks really good. It seems super fun. There was great, like, kind of mini-bosses that I already played in the boss and stuff. That, you know, I just like Mega Man a lot, and that game just, it seems like it's going to be super fun. Cool. So, those are probably three.
What would you say was probably the worst game you saw or played?
Well, I mean, I did, like, Yeah, it's that freaking, it's that David Jaffe, like, free-to-play shooter. I don't even know if it's free-to-play for PlayStation 4, where it's like all the characters look like
they look like a notebook sketch or whatever from like a middle schooler.
That looks rough. Looked
terrible when it was announced.
That is rough. That is playing rough. It's like it's weird because it's like every character has like abilities almost like in a MOBA, but it's like it's every character everybody moves so fast and like stilted. It's like really hard to like aim and like hit people because like all it's like everything's like a skill shot almost. But people are just like running around like crazy and like. I guess the aesthetic is just so. It's like I don't think that's like a nostalgia thing. I think most people are embarrassed about that part of themselves when they were like 14 and angsty. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is like cool. Except for like
relive this. Yeah.
So unless you're David Jaffe, that's like a part of like you know you don't want to remember that. That's not a cool thing to revisit. It's not like when you were like a kid and you had an imagination. Oh yeah, that's super fun. No, this is like, I hate school. Like, oh, and this girl won't talk to me. It's like, oh, cool. Yeah. I don't know. So that seemed rough.
You know me. I always kind of thought David Jaffe's a bit of a hack.
Well, I mean, Twisted Metal and God of War were good.
That was a long time ago.
They were a long time ago. I tell you what was weird. As I played like the God of... No, I think I just watched somebody play the God of War 3 remaster for a bit. And I couldn't tell if it was like a good thing for that game or a bad thing for like this generation. That it basically just looked like any other PlayStation 4 release.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But see, I feel like a lot of people out of E3, like, they saw stuff like Fallout 4 and the Gears remaster, and they're like, oh, that's what it looked like. But, like, no. When you actually do hold, like, oh. like, look at the dog in Fallout 3 next to the dog in Fallout 4, and you're like, eee.
No. Oh, yeah, my. I mean, definitely looks better. You know me, that game's running on 60 frames per second now, and that's very nice to me. I mean.
What's 60? God of War?
God of War, yeah. Now, I think. At least it looked like it. But,
But, it
man,
is.
I mean, I was just saying, like, man, that game just looks really, really good now. And I guess because it always had that ridiculous scale anyways. It's weird that, like, they haven't really gotten a new one of those out. All right.
Anything else from E3 you want to mention? Shout out to?
I mean, like, the Project Morpheus demo I did, I don't know if I talked about that. I think I talked about it a little bit, but I just had time basically for, it was kind of funny because I was waiting to do something at the Sony booth and the Sony PR person said, like, what cool did you do today? And, like, not even thinking, I was like, oh, I saw HoloLens. It was really neat. Like, oh, you have to see Morpheus. You have an appointment to see Morpheus. I'm like, oh, no, not really. He's like, oh, well, we'll get you in there. I'm like, okay.
That's funny.
Right. So basically, it was just kind of like, I went, kind of got to basically cut in the line, and then they just kind of put me on whichever one was available. And it just happened to be something called Wayward Sky. I think it was called Wayward Sky. And just, it happened to just really be a, like a point-and-click adventure game. Except it wasn't really point. It was like, look. Because you had kind of a god view down below, and there was, like, the cursor would just go wherever your head was tilted, and it was super easy and intuitive, and it was super fun. Because I love those adventure games, and, like, the virtual reality aspect was really neat, because things would kind of fly at you, and you can, like, when you look down, you almost got that sense of vertigo, or, like, I'm going to fall, because it was like a very platformy world, mm-hmm. and at the bottom of it all was just the sky going down to the abyss.
Ooh, neat.
So I was like, you look down, you're like, ooh. And it's like weird too, because like I'm looking down, like, where are my feet? And just like all that stuff to experience for the first time. So that was, yeah, it was super cool.
I think of all the VR stuff I've seen and read out of E3, I think Morpheus stands the best chance of success, honestly, just because it's got the lowest barrier to entry.
Right, it's like that's kind of like what I'm talking about, with, you know, PC gaming in general. Yeah, it's just, you know, I know that Sony's gonna, I know that.
I put this on my PlayStation 4,
and it will work.
Yeah, and work. I don't have to buy. I guess those controllers Oculus made are really cool.
Yeah,
Dean, but like you're gonna have to buy those. You have to have a powerful enough PC.
Dean got to use that. And he said it was a super super cool thing. I did one more thing. I saw that Xbox One Elite controller. I got really like really hands on with that.
You actually play with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, play some Halo with it, and it's super neat. And I mean. I love, like,
I kind of want one so bad.
It's so easy to, like, change that D-pad. And it's, like, so cool because you just think, like, games could just, like, when they release, they could just have, like, a different D-pad, like, in, like, the case, you know? Yeah.
How is that, like, weird polygonal D-pad, like, the non-standard
one? It was pretty neat.
Do you feel like it'd be good for a fighting game or something?
Maybe, yeah. It'd be good for quarter rolls and stuff. It, yeah, it, you know, there's the applications are, you know, I think there's many. I mean, I was a little taken aback by the price. It seemed maybe high, but I still want one. I feel like I feel like you need one of these for when you're playing like an Xbox One game by yourself. You want this one.
Yeah. Well, like how much did you pay for your arcade stick? If you don't mind.
Well, that's $200. Right. About.
And I like, and you know, like other companies have made similar controllers, like paddles and stuff in the back, and that's what they cost. Yeah. Like, I don't think like you know, people,
the paddles. I don't know if like the paddles were cool. I don't know if that was like the biggest feature to me.
Some people like swear by them because you know cool. It means you don't have to take your thumb off the sticks to you know jump.
I guess. Yeah. Stuff. I guess. I see the point. All right, want to talk about Batman?
Like yeah. Hands-on-y.
So, man, yeah, super. I'd say nobody really does action games as well as these Batman games.
Which, what did Rocksteady do before Batman?
I don't know.
Did they do
did
anything?
They do anything?
I'm curious to check real quick.
Yeah.
Because they just kind of came out of nowhere and were like, fuck y'all.
We're going to reinvent the action genre.
We're going to reinvent the action genre, the superhero genre, and just make a really good game.
Well, because everything was very God of War-y right before it, where everything was like kind of. These weird combos,
but like
that didn't really matter what
yeah,
you
exactly.
did necessarily.
You were usually, just as successful, just mashing
right,
attack.
And yeah, it was. But then they kind of came along with this sort of counter-based combo. It was very reactionary to like who you're fighting and who's doing what.
Mm-hmm.
But this game just adds so many cool things. Like there's environmental takeouts, and you can like team up with a Batmobile. Or if you're with a specific person, you can push a button and team up with them. And it's just like, it's just all, you know, there's just more ways to take people out. But just like, keep switching it up and keeps making it look more and more cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
On the practical side, there's these fear-based takedowns. So if you can sneak
those
up.
Those are awesome.
It's cool because it's not like, because it's hard to sneak up to a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can, before they can react, you can take out three of them like immediately. Which is super fun to do. And, you know, everyone's kind of, it seemed like people were kind of down the Batmobile from the reviews a little bit. I'm liking it a lot so far.
I have no problem. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I'm maybe 3 hours in the game, 4 hours. If they keep shoving it down your throat too much, I can see that.
If they keep shoving down these fight the drone tanks, yeah, maybe that's going to get old.
Yeah, but like.
But it controls so well.
Yeah, I think the problem with it is as cool as the Batmobile is. It's still not as fun as flying
it's
through
not,
the city.
No, I don't. I almost like it more though, like when there is like sections built for it, and when it's like you can also kind of do these puzzles with it, where you're kind of pulling stuff with like its tow cable and stuff.
Yeah,
that's super cool. No, I agree though. Like, it's not usually my preferred way of traveling. It's not even as convenient as flying over the rooftops, because you're gonna miss things
mm-hmm.
that you organically run into, like the trophies and some of the side missions, and you know you're. Usually you have to kind of go through the streets and you're going to run into the tags and stuff. So yeah, it's almost not really the best way to get around, per se. But it's still super cool.
Also, like we kind of mentioned before, you're on PS4, I'm on Xbox One. This game is gorgeous.
Yes, it looks very...
Oh my... Like, you know, like everyone was kind of bitching, like, oh, these next-gen games don't look all that good. Like, when do these games just look good? I think between, like, Witcher 3 and now this and seeing what's on the Horizon
right.
3, I think we could all say we're here.
We're definitely getting there. I think it helps that these are all games that don't have, like, last-gen versions.
And that's what we've been saying all along. Like, once we finally got off that train, mm-hmm. that's when you can actually tap into what these consoles can do.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this game looks stunning. And just, you just feel like such a badass when you, like, you know, leap in a room, fear take down three guys, jump up, like, cut a ceiling light so it falls on a fourth guy. Punch a guy in the air and the Batmobile shoots him with a beanbag or something.
No, it's just super.
Like,
it's just super.
It's
cool.
Just so cinematic.
And it's like easy enough that like you can do it, but it's not hard. It's not also. But it's also like hard enough that it's like feels rewarding.
Right.
There's times
it's
where you
intuitive.
Die. Yeah.
But it's not. It's
not
easy
like
on is not the right word.
Right,
it's intuitive.
Exactly, right. So, but yeah, and it's. I'm glad too. It doesn't just feel like Arkham City 2, which maybe Origins did, which is why I couldn't really get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and like I think you made this point yesterday, the Batmobile does kind of help in that regard.
Right, it does. Yeah, it helps a lot. And is this map completely new? Because it seems completely different from the Arkham City.
Yeah, in fact, I don't even know. I wonder if like you actually go into the Arkham City area in this game. That'd be kind of cool if it was just a section.
Right, but no, I like that it is just a completely different thing, and it's like it's very well separate. Like, well, because like Arkham City was like that kind of crescent moon thing.
Yeah, so it made it feel bigger than it was because you couldn't just go across.
Right. And this thing's like three islands, and they're kind of like a triangle pattern.
There was that moment. It's kind of early on in the game where you throw like a kind of weird satellite surveillance battering. And the camera just zooms all the way out. And you're like, wow, like completely seamless. You see, and I didn't realize at the time, that was just one of the islands. Then later in the game, you kind of get like a flyby of all three. And you're like, this is huge.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
There's no loading. Everything streams in. It doesn't have like, you know, a lot of games last gen always had, you can tell when it went from, like, cutscene to game. Like, that's all completely non-existent.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's, I know exactly what you mean.
Really, really impressive.
Yeah, and yeah, just super fun. So fun. And it's, you know, so it's got, fun. Like, those twists and, like mysteries that, like, just really, you keep wanting to play it.
Yeah, there's obviously a story beat early in the game that's a big spoiler, but...
Super cool.
Super rad. Also,
it's a spoiler, but, like, you want to know who the Arkham Knight is.
Yeah, I'm dying to know who the Arkham Knight is. Like, honestly, that's really got me hooked. Like, who is this guy? I don't know.
It's like, yeah, they keep teasing the connection and all that stuff. It's just great, like, seeing, like, this collection of Batman villains and stuff. I don't even want to say it. I don't want to give it away. I just wouldn't even, but it was cool. It scared me. Did something happen that scared you?
Ooh. Did I get scared? I don't think I got scared.
Okay, then I don't think it happened. I was scared. But yeah, super, super, super fun.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something else I wanted to say about it, but I don't know. I just want to play more of it.
Did you play your Harley Quinn DLC yet? I heard it's not good.
Yeah, big surprise. Yeah, I will say, like, there's those AR challenges, and if you get, like, 3 points in them, there's this one on the Batmobile. It's right after you do the first... Do you do the first Riddler thing down there yet?
No, like I said, when I was playing the game, it hadn't finished downloading, so, like, I could do the main quest, but all the side quests were still downloading, which is kind of a smart way to handle that.
Yes, but, like, yeah, so, like, the first Riddler thing, it's, like, the Riddler challenges are almost all... Like, the main ones are almost all Batmobile kind of puzzles, and the first one's, like, a racetrack, and there's, like, 3 laps, and it gets harder, and, like, then you do the 3rd lap, you win. But then you could do, like, a thing where... If you beat the 3rd lap in 44 seconds or whatever, or 42 seconds, I remember exactly, then you get, you know, a Wayne point so you can upgrade. And I was doing this for an hour. And every time, I was like 42 seconds and some change. And they were perfect runs. I do not know what else I could have possibly done. And I can't, it's like you can't upgrade the Batmobile to go faster. You can upgrade to like, increase the nitro boost, but in this thing you have infinite nitro boost anyways. So I'm just like...
You know you're going to go in that leaderboard, and there's going to be guys with like 38 seconds. You're going to be like, how? How?
I don't know. I just... was like, it only shows my friends. It showed one guy, and they were way worse than me. So I just like... That was not encouraging. So I was like, I don't know. I just had to come back.
And then Twitch streams like...
I'm not usually a big fan of 100% games. I don't think I'll 100% this... right away, but Arkham City was one of the games that I eventually did.
Yeah, I 100% of Asylum.
Because it was fun. It was like, oh, I'm going to get all the trophies and do all this shit. It's going to be great. It'll be great. All right.
Real quick, so according to Wikipedia, Rocksteady Games have made 4 games.
What's the other
3
one?
3 of them are Batman games. In 2006, before they were purchased by Time Warner, they made Urban Chaos Riot Response, which was a first-person shooter for the PlayStation 2 and Xbox.
Hmm.
It got an 8 out of 10 from the official PlayStation 2 magazine.
Interesting, yeah. They do not remember that one.
No.
I do wonder, because they can't... It's kind of assumed that this is the end of the Arkham series.
Yeah, they kept saying, like, it's the end of the trilogy, even though there's a 4th game that they didn't make. And
yeah.
It does make you wonder, like, what are these guys going to do next? Well,
what makes me wonder is, how can you ever do another Batman game again and not, like, follow just this template?
Do this formula, yeah.
And it's like, after a while it gets old, but it's like...
You know what I like about... Just the Arkham games in general. Everyone praised like the Nolan Batman films for being very grounded in kind of reality. I think these games manage to do that while still staying comic book.
They're very comic booky, yeah. But
they still feel grounded in a weird way.
Yeah, the comic book, they're not like in a ridiculous kind of way.
Well, you know, because Batman's not wearing like tights. He has like armor.
Right.
But like from the silhouette still is the same.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, like there's still like, you know, Poison Ivy has like bullshit plant powers. Like that wouldn't have happened in a Nolan movie.
No.
You know?
No, right. But yeah, here it all works real well. It's actually, let's see, it's almost like a better medium for like that kind of Batman than film.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, do we even talk about some releases?
Did you play anything else?
Nah. I mean, I played a lot. I mean, I've been playing all the new characters in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Which was a godsend for my trip because I mean, I had those on my 3DS, just playing them over. It's funny because like the one I'm playing the least is Ryu right now. Ryu.
I need to train myself.
It's funny because I said
lifetime.
As soon as I was like. I even argue with somebody, I'm like, it's Ryu, and then I'm like, wait a second, what does the Smash Bros. Announcer say? They're like, Ryu. I'm like, fine, then that's it. I'll listen to him. But
I like Ryu, except the only thing I don't like is, because like you can manually input all his moves to power them up, it just gets confusing like which way you're facing.
Right, because then...
That's the hardest thing about it.
Because in a real Street Fighter game, that you always know, because it's just the one person, you're always facing them.
Right.
So, but yeah, so that's a little confusing.
Hey, speaking of, did you get to see Street Fighter V?
I played it.
How is it?
It was good.
Does it feel that different from 4?
No.
That's, I think, the bummer about
it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll... there's different things.
I feel like I'd be more excited for that game in a world where Guilty Gear XR didn't exist.
Yeah. That game was cool looking. But I mean, it's fun. What were we talking about? Yeah, but Roy's really cool. I like Lucas a lot, and the new stages. I'm just glad to keep supporting that game with DLC.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Ready for some releases?
Mm-hmm.
I have them open. Here they are. So, Batman Arkham Knight. PlanetSide 2 is officially released for the PlayStation 4. It got a 9 from GameSpot.
Wow. I don't know.
Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition.
Yeah, that's weird. I thought people didn't like that one
much. Yeah, me too.
Maybe I'm... I mean, I don't really play this series, but whatever.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 14 Heavensward.
Oh, man. Heavensward, I want to get that at some point. The problem is, like, to play the new story quest, you have to not only just, like, get the max level and beat the original story quest from the first game, you need to beat the story quest from all the updates that they've been releasing, which were many.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's good that they keep supporting the game, but yeah, you have a lot to get through to if you want to
You really... can't even, like, have the new class until you finish that stuff, right?
I don't know.
I think it hurt. Really? I could be wrong. Let's see. Episode 3 of Tales from the Borderlands, Catch a Ride is out.
I want to play these at some point.
Why is this listing Super 3D Noah's Ark as a new release? Remember that game for Super Nintendo that looked like Doom, but with, like, goats? Yeah, Tales from Borderlands is good. I played the first episode. Guild Wars 2 expansion, Heart of Thorns is out. It got a 9.
Is this, like, the first real expansion?
Yeah. That seems to be it for this week, unless something crazy comes out on Friday.
You think you're going to play...
Oh, yeah, the Drive Club PlayStation Plus edition comes out tomorrow, I think.
You think you're going to play that Old Republic expansion? Because that doesn't cost anything, right? None of their expansions
do. No. If you're subscribing, it doesn't cost you anything. So they made that big announcement at E3 how, like, if you want to just play the story, they're facilitating that. But they did a thing last month where, like, if you were subscribing, it just basically gave you a 12x XP boost. So you could skip all the side quests and not fall behind. I wonder if that's really all it is. They're just making that permanent. The details aren't out. Honestly, if I could, like, get through one of those in a month, pay basically $15 for a SWTOR story.
Well, here's my question. Is this, like, the only ongoing new Star Wars thing that isn't canon, then?
Pretty much, yeah.
So it's not canon. All right, that does it.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Explain Bro Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that jazz. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store. Check out all our old shows and leave us a review. We always appreciate that. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Explain Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.